Any better? Okay. Thank you. Praying without thinking about who we're praying to, it kind of becomes common to us, doesn't it? We sit down for something to eat and we pray, and that's good. We need to. We get up in the morning and in our fast pace, our rushed days, we whisper a quick prayer and hope God connects with it, and we run. Might even say a little bit of a prayer throughout the day. We get stuck in a tight spot and we pray quickly, hoping this time God really hears us. We come home, we're tired. And just before we go to bed, we whisper another prayer thinking that one's going to do. That's a pretty negative picture, isn't it? And I trust today that's not our picture here. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Luke 11. I'm going to do a little bit of talking here while you turn to Luke 11 there. I have a couple of verses I want us to think about this morning. We're going to use these as kind of our key verses this morning. I'll bring it back to you again at the end of the service. 1 John 3:21 says this. He says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." There's a verse in Luke that talks about Jesus, what He was doing in His life. We think about Jesus and the connection that He had with the Father. We think, you know, really, why would He have to slip off to pray? Because He was God-man. But yet it talks about Him where He slipped away to the wilderness and He prayed. He reconnected. We need that reconnection in our lives. We need that relationship, that prayer. We face difficulties in life, and I find that when I go back and I get on my knees and I seek God, there's just something that happens in my spirit. There's a connection that happens. Where we gain strength, we are given what we need. So we learn from Jesus' example that there's times we need to just slip away and spend time with Him. Many times we wait for prayer until there's a struggle that comes, and we hope that we've got the strength to carry through. I want to challenge us this morning. Let's not wait for that. Let's be prayed up. Prayer is one of the most powerful weapons God has given to us. I was pondering about this whole thing of what we can't see around us, the spiritual realm, the battle, the fight that happens around us. And I believe prayer is one of the most powerful weapons that God has given us. He steps in and He helps us. He assists us in the fight, and maybe He even does our fighting for us when we come to Him in prayer. And by the way, I'm just going to scratch the surface this morning. There's so much in the book of James that talks about prayer. And there are some areas that I wanted to go to. We're not going to get to this morning, so we're going to continue with this probably in the next message that I have. Prayer is simply a conversation with God that is defined by faith. It's the humble act of taking our natural concerns to a supernatural God. But knowing how to pray is not always easy. If you're like me, there's times that you come in prayer, and there's silence. Silence because I don't know where to start. Silence because there's so much on my heart, I'm just not really sure. And the Holy Spirit begins moving. And God gives us words to speak. And the Holy Spirit prays for us. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. I'd like for you this morning to stand. We're not going to read a whole lot of verses here, but stand with me this morning as we read some out of Luke chapter 11. Verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're going to stop there. You may be seated. But I was thinking about the disciples here. Here they're listening to Jesus. And I'm sure the disciples had heard the different prayers, the Torah that was prayed. There were probably a lot of those rituals that they went through that was prayed over and over. And they heard Jesus pray. And I'm guessing they probably heard a prayer with authority. And they realized that there was connection there. Something was happening. So one of the disciples actually has the nerve to step out and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I'm guessing if I was with the disciples, I would have said, Lord, teach us to pray. And today, where we're at now, that's my prayer. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to connect with you. Not just an empty prayer, but a prayer that has connection, that has faith involved in it. I believe that's where the disciples were at. So we're going to look at a couple of ways this morning. I've got five different things I want us to look at, five different points this morning. We'll try to move through these quickly. But five important things for us to consider when we pray. And as I was looking at this morning, I thought, you know what, I'm repeating stuff that's being said here over the pulpit. I read here a while back something that said, as a minister, when you preach, you're basically repeating what Scripture has said many, many times. And we keep doing that over and over. So there's times that I'm going to say some things I've said before, some of the others said before, but that's part of ministering. That's part of preaching. We keep repeating things over and over. Why? Because we need to hear it. We forget, don't we? The first point I'd like to look at is we bring Him honor. It's an important thing for us to consider when we pray is that we bring Him honor. Verse 2 there in Luke 11 says, Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. Do I realize that His name is holy? He is to be exalted. We give Him our devotion. In the midst of all this hustle and bustle of life, He is the one that is to be exalted. He's perfect. The other night we did what Harold said here a while back in our family. We took the alphabet and we went through and we said something about God in each one of the letters. So much praise that comes out of something like that. He is greatness. He is majesty. And I have to ask myself, am I honoring this name today in my walk? I may be saying it, but am I really living it out? With those that know me say, hey, there's something about this guy. He honors somebody. Who am I honoring? The second point I'd like to look at is we are taught to ask. I had the idea as I was studying too. Why do I continue to come to God and not ask something of God? He knows me inside out. He knows what I'm thinking before I think it. But yet He says, ask. Turn to Matthew 7. We'll look at a few verses there. Matthew 7, verse 7. And this is echoed different times throughout Scripture. Matthew 7, 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Here it says good things. If we go back to chapter 11, Luke 11, where we're at, it says, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. But just thinking this through a little bit, we come to God, we ask, and He gives us. Your child comes to you and they ask, and you give them. Your child asks you for something to eat, you're not going to give him a serpent because you know better than that. That's just a tiny picture. God gives to those that ask. How much better He gives. Philippians 4, there's a couple of verses there, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 50, there's a couple of verses, verse 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Jeremiah 33:3, I'm just going to pick a verse out there without looking at the context, but it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So we don't question whether God wants us to ask or not. It's in the Scriptures. He wants us to ask. Then I ask a question to us this morning, a question that I think probably comes to each one of us. I'm guessing every one of us had this question in your life sometime along the way. Why are there times when it seems prayer just does not work? Have you prayed a prayer this week that you felt like God didn't answer? You don't have to raise your hands. Just think about it. Last week, throughout this year, I have. Let's look at a few reasons or a few things that we can look at, some important things to consider when we pray. Maybe that'll help us to understand why does God sometimes not answer our prayers. Psalm 66:18. It says, if I regard sin in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart. Sorry, I forgot to read the title of that point number 3. Come with a clean heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now I'm talking to this morning to believers, to those of you who know what it is to walk with God. He says there, if I know that there's sin in my life, I'm not going to hear you. There's a verse in Psalm 139 that I love to go back to when I'm praying, when I'm seeking God, and it seems there's nothing happening. Psalm 139, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there's any wicked way within me. Now, I'm not going to pray that verse unless I have in my heart a fixed mind that if God speaks to me, I'm going to heed what He says. Because when we allow God to speak to us and we turn our back on it, it's not going to happen. But He wants us, when we come to Him and we ask Him to look at our lives and to cleanse us and to show us, He wants us to be open, to hear. And it's going to hurt sometimes because we're going to have to make changes. We're going to have to go back and see what's happening. What is keeping us from hearing? Is there sin? Proverbs 1:28 says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. So this is some of the reasons why we can't hear, why God does not answer. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? To go back and get on our knees and allow Him to cleanse us, to look inside us. What is there? Scripture talks about lifting holy hands in prayer. Holy hands in prayer. How many times do I come before the Lord and I get on my knees and I pray and I lift my hands to Him to honor Him and worship Him and they're not holy? That's not God honoring. He wants us to have holy hands when we come to Him in prayer. And He's so willing. Let's look at some verses here. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. We need to look at some verses here to see what would God do if we have unholy hands and we come to Him and ask Him. 1 John 1, beginning in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from not a few sins, but everything. That's the kind of God we serve. He cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's none of us here this morning that can say, I've never sinned. Matter of fact, it's probably a daily thing, isn't it? That's why we keep coming back to Him. And His grace is sufficient. His grace is so great. The next verse, I believe we need to read together. It's one of my favorite verses, and I hope it always will be. 1 John 1:9, if you have that there in your Bible, let's read that together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thank you. Again, he says, from all unrighteousness. I just love to grab onto that and hang on to it because it's not just a little bit that he forgives. It's everything. He cleans us up. But it's on our part to confess, isn't it? It's on our part to confess. Here a while back, I was preparing for a message. It was a Sunday morning. I was back here in the pastor's study. And I was asking God, is there anything that you would have that I know I need to change before I get up in front of you that morning and preach? And there was something that he made so clear to me. So I went outside, I got on my phone. And I had to call one of the pastors from years ago when I was younger. It was Sunday morning, so he didn't answer. But that afternoon he called. Was it embarrassing for me to talk to him? Yeah, it was. But you know what kind of peace I found after I confessed that? I want to challenge you with that this morning. When you seek God and you come to Him and you openly desire what He wants, listen to Him. Don't push it off until tomorrow. Listen to Him. He wants to cleanse us. He wants us to be a part of that family and walk faithfully with Him. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Another promise that He's given us. Number four, another important thing for us to consider when we pray is to believe, have faith when we pray. We've talked so much about faith. But James 1, verse 5 and 6, and you don't have to turn there, you can. I know this is right in the middle of talking about temptations and trials, or it's right at the end of that. And as I look at that, and as I try to figure out what is he talking to us here, I think it has a lot to do with maybe we don't understand some of the trials and struggles and why we go through. But then he tells them in verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. He will give to all of us liberally if we want wisdom and understanding. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you think about a little bitty boat out there on the ocean, the waves are going here, the waves are going there, you're being thrown this way and that. He said that's kind of what it is like if you don't have faith. It's unbelief. You're doubting. And there's nothing solid about it. You're all over the place. He says in verse 7, what's going to happen to that man? He says, for let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8 says he's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. When I think about being double-minded, I think about somebody that comes to God and he prays. And he brings his sinner's petition or whatever he has, and he lays it before God. And he asks him to take it, and we've all been here. He asks him to take it. And then when we get back up and we leave, we pick the burden back up and we take it with us. That's a double-minded man. That's a man who doesn't have faith. But when we have faith, we will take that burden to God, and we'll lay it down at his feet, and we'll ask him, can you take this burden, please? And we leave it there at the foot of the cross. And we leave without the burden. He lifts our burdens from us. So many times we're lacking in faith, aren't we? The disciples also struggled with this lack of faith. Matthew 10:1, Jesus was talking to the disciples. It says, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. I'd like for you this morning to turn to Matthew 17. We'll look at a story here that happened. Let's remember, Jesus gave the disciples power. He gave us power also. He gave the disciples power to face some of the difficult issues and life. Matthew 17, verse 14. Jesus was here with his disciples. He says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he's a lunatic. He's one who has seizures. He's sore vexed. He suffers terribly. Oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. So here the dad has a burden for his son. God, can you heal him? The next verse says, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. I was thinking to myself, if I'd been one of the disciples standing there, I'd probably slowly faded back into the crowd, wouldn't I? But it says, they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then a little bit later on, it says in verse 19, says the disciples, when they were apart, they asked Jesus, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I was looking at that faith of a mustard seed, and I read about that, and I studied about that for a long time. I really don't have a whole lot to say this morning. I'm just not done with that yet. But I want us to consider the mustard seed. The mustard seed was considered to be one of the tiniest seeds of the herbs in the time of Jesus walking the earth there. But yet, as that seed was planted, it grew. And it ended up becoming one of the biggest herbs, big enough that the birds could rest in it. That paints to me a picture of a faith that is tiny. God gives us faith. It's a gift. But a faith that is tiny, and as we use that gift, as we plant that gift, and put it into practice, what we know God wants us, how He wants us to live, and we step out and we allow Him to work in our lives, and we're committed to Him, it continues to grow. Our faith continues to grow. We look at chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we see all the men, the women there, most of the men, I guess, that are listed there. But the faith that they had, it wasn't tiny faith. Yes, their goal was the object of their faith. Their view was the object of their faith. But as they stepped out, that faith grew. Then it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Some of the scriptures, some of the commentators would say that verse was added in later on. But there is an echo to that verse in another scripture. So I believe prayer and fasting ties in, and hopefully we'll get to that sometime soon also. The last one I like to look at, the last important thing for us to consider when we pray, and that is to seek His will. He says there in verse 2 also of Luke 11, where we began reading earlier, thy will be done in heaven, so on earth. 1 John 5, there's a couple of verses I'll read to you. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And when I read these verses, there's so many other verses I see throughout the New Testament that talk about coming to God, asking Him, and He's going to answer. So I take those verses, and so many of Christianity today are taking these verses and we're living those out without considering the fact that God has a perfect will for us. God does have a perfect will for us. But He says if we pray according to the will of God, our prayers are going to be answered. What is God's will? What is God's will? God's will is that we know Him in a personal way and live for Him. When I pray God's will in my life, my will gets laid aside. Now let's be careful how we take that. Because there's something that needs to happen with our will. My will might be laid aside, but when I seek His face, what I'm really seeking is to know His will, because I want my will to line up with His will. Does that make sense to you this morning? My will is to line up with His will. But the human way for us to do it is that I want my will. I want what I want. And God, I'm bringing it to You, and You said You would, so do it. And we begin to be demanding of God. Our will is to line up with God's will. Turn to Psalm 37. I'd like to look at verse 3, 4, and 5 in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." I want us to look at verse 4 there for a bit. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." What is it for us to delight ourselves in the Lord? When I delight myself in God, am I seeking to go my own direction? Am I seeking to go His direction? If I delight in something, I'm going to put everything I have into what I delight in. Because I want to delight, I want to please that. If I delight in myself, I'm going to do what feels good for me. But if I'm going to delight in the Lord, there's something I'm going to do. I'm going to seek Him. I want to know what it is to delight in Him. Because my goal is to bring Him praise, to bring Him honor, glory, and life. So if I want to delight in Him, I need to know what makes Him happy. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." This is what we're talking about, our will lining up with God's will. And we pray and we receive what He has for us. God's sovereign will. We're not going to look at the different wills of God this morning, but I want us just for a minute to think about God's sovereign will. God's sovereign will is based upon the fact that God is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the creator of us. And because of His sovereign will, because of Him being sovereign, He says what goes. First Chronicles 29, verse 11 and 12. "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is Yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Psalm 115:3, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases." Aren't you glad that we serve a God that has created? And He put us into this creation. We're part of His creation. And we have the opportunity to serve Him. Ephesians 1:11, "He works all things according to the counsel of His will." Daniel 4:37, "All His works are right and His ways are just." So when I realize that God is sovereign, and if I want to delight in Him, then I'm going to seek to know what His will is so I can come in line with His will and allow Him to answer, or He will answer my prayers. We have a perfect picture of this in the garden where Jesus was on His knees and He was talking to His Father. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because he loved his father. He wanted to honor his father. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I want us to go back again to these two verses we mentioned way at the beginning. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. James also talks about the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I struggled with that for a while. What is this fervent prayer? And hopefully we'll get into that a little bit later. But one of the thoughts that came to me this morning, maybe part of that fervent prayer is seeking to know, what God, what do you really want? What is your will? And when we can realize what his will is, it does so much. And by the way, thinking about the fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, I believe has a lot to do with not just answering our prayer, but changing us. Changing us. Are you willing to be changed today? Are you willing to come to him and seek what his will is? And when you realize what his will is, pray in that direction, even though it's going to bring you pain, but bring him honor. God is good. We seek him with all of our hearts, and we pray that he would show himself to us. That's my challenge for us this morning. That as we pray, that we don't just glibly pray and let it pass on by, but that we seek him with our whole heart. And we search to see, what is your will, God? And then to believe that he's going to move, that he's going to move on our behalf. God bless you this morning. Would you stand with me as we pray?